rolling around the office.
We're rolling. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yeah, all the stuff that's gone on in the Apple world discussed between three luminaries and me. So, yeah. Joining me, wonderful, wonderful panel. Stick around as well, because we've got a competition today. So we'll do a competition a bit later. Patricia, remind me about the competition, because I forgot last week, like an sure. idiot. Making a welcome return, where have you been?
What do you guys call it? The infirmary.
The infirmary. So how's the knee? Are you walking normally
yet? It's getting better. I can walk. I have a cool limp, though, but now instead of looking like, you know, a pirate with the peg leg, it's more like, you know, some guy just trying to look cool.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the like, Liverpool kids in a tracksuit.
Are you feeling every one of your 50 years, mate?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The hardest part about this whole process is the physical therapy, like the actual scar stuff. I mean, the cut heals like in little over a month, but then the PT is brutal because you'd be surprised at how fast your muscles atrophy and your bones stiffen.
Yeah.
And when you're this old, they stiffen in the morning anyway, but it becomes almost like a solid rock. And so it got so bad that they were almost going to put me under and then crank my knee back and forth like a MacBook hinge.
Yeah, but you've got to do that, those exercises. My aunt had it, and she didn't do the exercise, and she really badly suffered from fluid buildup and stuff like that, whereas my mum had hers done, and she absolutely religiously did it, and she had absolutely no trouble at all. You've got to do those exercises, man. Keep the fluids down and that kind of stuff.
100%.
Yeah. Good to have you back, buddy. A bit more often, I hope, now.
Yes.
Next to him, it's Jeffrey. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, and I'm really happy to be here with you and everyone else today.
Now, before we forget, you've given us an offer code, haven't you, for Text Expander?
Yes, BTN2020.
So if you're a BTN listener and you fancy Text Expander, then go for it. BTN2020 gets you 20% off. But not just that, you have your own personal trainer in terms of Jeffrey.
Oh, that's perfect. Yep, I'm easy to find. Ask away.
And straight after this, you've got a... webinar, aren't you?
Yes, doing a beginner webinar. And I have found that even for people that have been using Text Expander for a while, that the beginner webinar oftentimes has little tips that they didn't know about.
Perfect. Thanks to Text Expander for doing that. That's really nice and smart. Super. Denver weather report. Snow? No snow?
No snow. Haven't had snow for a few days, and it's sunny, and it is 33 Fahrenheit, so just a touch above freezing.
Yeah.
But it should warm up a little bit today.
We got cold here.
So it'll be
jacket
weather.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday was really cold here, but then it started to warm up again and get a bit more moist. But we've had a lot of rain lately. My rugby pitch last week, we played on that, and it was an absolute hippo mud pie pool. It was horrific by the end of the game, so we need to anyway. No one listens to this for the weather report.
I assume that's the only reason people tune in.
You reckon that's it? They all switch off. Bob Beach leaves the chat room after we do the weather in Boulder.
Yep.
Yeah. And last but by no means least, in his echo chamber. Yeah. Although you have got a little bit more furniture, haven't you now?
Not yet. I'm getting a delivery tomorrow, for the bedroom for the most part.
Oh God, blimey.
At least I will have a wardrobe and not have like clothes and everything like spread out on the floor.
The one thing that people can't accuse you of is having a lack of patience, dude.
Oh, that is true, yes.
Bloody hell.
I wouldn't be here if I wasn't patient.
No. Well, at least they let you work from home on show days. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, well, I just decided, like, nobody really cares, but I just decided today was a good day. Usually I would go to work because it just works out timing-wise, like I can leave at 4:30 and be here. So it's not a big issue, but today I was like,
Tom's just put, thanks for the weather report, I'm off, and he's gone.
Tom. And he missed the weather report from Linz, because I was going to mention that it's really, like, really cold here. I mean, we have 33 degrees Fahrenheit right now, and it's going to go down to, like, 23 or something tonight, so.
I don't know. I haven't got a clue. But no, well, thanks for coming along, mate. So so going forwards, you're going to be home on our show days, right?
I mean, yeah, always. Like, I'll work today and just go home. Like, not an issue.
This is what we want. Regulars. Are you watching this, Callum? You see what it's like to make a regular commitment and not Welsh? Yeah, so yeah. No, to be fair.
Well, I have the advantage of being an hour ahead. So, like, for me, it works out.
Well, we've changed the day, and I think a lot of people actually accepted the invitation without clocking that it would change the date, because of course you don't see a calendar, you just see it as a thing. Mm-hmm. So Greeny's accepted for the big show this evening, and then he's had to bail now. So Callum's left, so that joke was lost. He'll watch it and then catch it, watch it in the edit. Right. The week in Apple, all stuff's gone on. There was a thing this week about, and I don't want to spend too long on this because it's obviously, you know, we knew it was coming, but Apple is likely to drop Flash support in the next version of Safari completely. I mean, you could still install a plugin, couldn't you, up until now, but the next beta version, apparently, that's going to be it. It's all gone. It's all done and dusted. There'll be nothing at all if you do rely on Flash.
I mean, funny enough, it took 10 years for that to happen. I remember in 2010, I think it was, when Steve Jobs wrote that big letter that Flash is dead and everything. And it took 10 years for it actually to happen.
Yeah, no, see, that's what I was going to say, that actually. The thing about, you know, Flash is a hog and all that kind of stuff, he was like, oh, no, Steve's nailed the coffin of Flash shut. Mm-hmm. Still here. Still going.
You know, what's funny about Flash to me is that it pointed out something that I never thought that I would say or even feel, sort of per se, but for a tech supposedly so bleeding edge, we are probably one of the most curmudgeonly set of people in industries all over the place, right? So every time something like, you know, the headphone port's got to go or Flash needs to go or something, it takes forever and people like literally lose their crap over like wanting it to stay for no really good reason, because HTML5 basically handles it. But I only noticed recently, what was it, the beginning of the year, YouTube got rid of all Flash support. So, you know, for your uploader and your tag clouds and things like that. And people pretty much lost their mind. And you didn't notice that you had devices that used it until it came up. But some set-top boxes and stuff were sort of built on that. So I kind of understand it because, you know, certain of the TV apps had to all be recreated. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just weird that tech people, we're so bleeding edge, but, you know, hey, I'm going to have to get rid of Microsoft Word because we realize it's sort of obsolete at this time. Oh, my God. Take my kids. Leave my word processor.
Yeah. I mean, you see it with Windows as well. Like, I mean, how long Windows XP and 7 have been around. And, like, I think that was actually this month also shut down. Or, like, the support was dropped, and like how many people complained about that? And I mean, Microsoft announced that years ahead. So I mean, the same with Flash, to be honest. Like, I mean, Adobe, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, told us that 2020 would be when they stopped supporting it. Mm-hmm. And now it's time. Like, I mean, this like Safari not supporting it is kind of only the last like bits and pieces. Like, I mean, Chrome doesn't, I think it doesn't enable it by default. You actually have to go in and enable it now.
Yeah, you've got to click on it and say, yeah, I want it to run. Yeah. But that, as of 2020 this year, they won't even allow that. So
yeah, no, it's just going to work. Like, it's just, I mean, as I said, like, Adobe's not supporting it, which means as much as Flash was a big security vulnerability on your system to begin with, it's going to get worse because now, like, Adobe is not going to fix anything.
No.
So it just makes sense. Like, just let it die. Like, it's time. I mean, we should actually put the finally on that. Like, it has been dead for over 10 years and now it's finally gone.
Oh, that's a big statement, because I don't think that's true. And I think there is an issue of the fact that come 2020, when it all just kicks off, I think there's an awful lot of people are going to see an awful lot of stuff that they're using routinely, particularly in business, and they're going to go, huh? Mm-hmm. Why is that stopped? And I think how many people out there don't even know that they're still using Flash?
That's the key. Absolutely. Right there. There are definitely some business sites, like in the real estate industry here, where, mm-hmm. you know, you go to log in and you're doing things like what we call an MLS. It's basically a multiple record resource locator that allows, you know, a realtor to see the inventory of all the empty, you know, flats you know, in a particular place, right? And so if you were planning to move from, say, Birmingham to Hawaii, you could log on to our thing and, you know, be like, hey, I really like this realtor. She seems like a nice person. And you go and you look at their inventory and see what they have available. And a lot of that stuff, just because it was clunked together years ago and kept being duct taped to fix, a lot of that stuff still uses Flash. And it's insanity because it doesn't need to. It's just pictures and the occasional 360 video now.
I've got to be honest. I don't know if I've got anything where I'm still using Flash. Because, I mean,
my cable company to watch TV on the go, you know, to bust out your phone when you're at the doctor's waiting or something. And, you know, I want to watch the game. Like yesterday, I wanted to watch, footy to watch Manchester United disappoint me again. It uses Flash still. And it's crazy because, again, it has no reason to, not on an iPhone and not in this day and age.
We're still broadcasting. Yeah. We're broadcasting on Flash. We're sending it up to our servers. Then it's being converted into HTML5 for those that want to watch it in HTML5. But we're still outputting in Flash, and Wirecast outputs in Flash still. And that's going to have to change.
Yeah, so, I just realized that OBS. Which I use to do my screen caps when I'm doing like what Jeff's doing today, like a webinar, and a lot of the webinar stuff do as well. It actually saves an FOV format if I didn't go in and dig through the menus to convert, make sure that it saves in MOV or MP4 format rather.
Yeah, for video M4P. Streaming, to be honest, it's only now starting that the, how's it called, low latency, I don't know, I can't remember the acronym for it, but there's basically the advantage of Flash is that it's low latency.
It's brilliant.
One of the reasons why we use it. Yeah, there is a version of HTML5 now that can do the same thing, but it's very new. Like, I think Safari added it last year or something. And iOS definitely did, like with iOS 13. So it's coming, but it's kind of late, to be honest. Yeah, it's there's, I mean, I know, like IKEA, for example, if you go to the IKEA website, which I did recently, and you want to, like, they have those configurators for like wardrobes and whatever. A lot of them are, no, actually all of them are still Flash. They have like a mobile version, which is just like a very stupid, dumbed down version of it. Like, it doesn't even have all the functionality. Everything else is still Flash.
I used to do work for a firm. I won't say who they are, but they had a Flash uploader where I could transfer the content to them. Mm-hmm. From photo and video. I haven't done any work with them for about 14 months, but I mean, as far as I'm aware, that's still running. So,
Yeah, it's as you said, there's probably a lot out there where people either don't realize it's there or where the companies are more or less asleep and are not doing anything about it.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. I think there's like a Y2K kind of thing going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, where everything is going to get cut off, and it's like, actually now Flash really is dead. There's not even any remnants of it across the internet, and everyone's going to freak. It's like, well, I didn't know that was using Flash.
Like, after we go through all of this work,
why did they kill it? I didn't know
everything
they were killing it.
HTML5, we're going to find out that HTML5 in itself is 5 years old, right? It was like 2014. So even that, you know, there's prototypes up to 8, you know, or white papers up to 8. HTML8, but we're still on HTML5.
And even HTML5 is way older than that. HTML5 existed in the early 2000s.
But I'm saying the official release date was, the public-facing release date was 2008, January 22nd, 2008. But the real, like, it had to be what you use was October 2014.
I think there's going to be someone out there who says, well, you know, Steve Jobs was giving Flash a hard time, but I thought after he died, you know, Flash had kind of won, so.
Flash killed Steve, therefore
there's a conspiracy. There's a conspiracy theory that we'll avoid massively. Apple's upcoming low-cost phone could launch as early as March. Now, I don't want to have a rumor fest on this because we don't like rumor fests anyway, but my question would be, does Apple really need a budget phone? Because the 10R is a decent price, and holy crap, it's good.
Outside of the three major parts, the three major pictures on the map, yes. If you count India, where there is more than all of us combined, and you count China, where there's even 3-4x than all of us combined, meaning that, you know, UK, China, Japan, Korea, like the upper half of the map. Yeah, they do.
I would say there's, in addition to that, there is the whole corporate world. I mean, most companies I know of, I mean, you might get an iPhone 10 if you're lucky, or you're like high enough up in the management chain that you can just ask for one, or like force people to buy one. But usually, like the dumb corporate phones that are used for phone calls and not much else, they're like iPhone 8s, iPhone 6s. We have iPhone 7s in our company. And for that, like, I mean, they're not used for that much. So like the cheapest iPhone you can get is probably good enough for that.
Perfect, yeah.
Well, there's also the hand devices. Now that Shopkeeper and Clover, and a couple more of these new sort of device-oriented things are popping out. Really popular in Asia. When I'm in China, Japan, or Korea, you go to the restaurant, and the server comes to you like this, and they go, okay, you want ramen with extra spicy, and you know, like that. And there's these Android devices that they use. Well, here we're starting to see that through Clover Shopkeep and this other thing called Toast. And so the server rolls up to your, you know, thing and says, oh, I'll take a bangers and mash and a pint. They just type it in that little thing. It goes to the kitchen. And when they drop it off on your table, that's how you pay. You know, you just basically touch your credit card to the back of it and it charges you. So they need that for those kind of devices too, your retail, you know, experience. And you're probably going to, even as a matter of fact, when I was in the hospital, a lot of the nurse float, the head nurse was running around with the iPad, you know, putting in all of my info, and the telemedicine telemetry was sending it all back to the doctor who's, you know, at home in his skivvies, you know, checking up on the patients. He don't have to come down just to put a hand on you and go, oh yeah, you're cool to take more drugs.
No, absolutely. I mean, Apple themselves is using iPhones for their...
Say, do we know what version of the iPhone it is on their hand devices?
That was a custom build. The most current one is built off of XRs, but prior to that, they were built off of 6s.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just a custom built thing. Like, it's kind of their own, because there's no separation anymore. Like, there used to be a clip thing that was on the back, and they were on 5s. But then they built one that was the whole body, and then now the newest ones are built off of a newer model. So, yeah, even in their own retail space, I mean, that's good for like 30,000 of them.
I haven't seen any of the new handhelds in Apple's stores yet. At every store I've been in Colorado, they're still running the 6.
Yeah, I mean,
that's because people in Colorado are high, they're a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, I cannot argue with that.
Yeah, I mean, they don't do much, so it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, the suggestion, I mean, what's the price point they've got to hit for it to be a budget phone? Have they got to hit the $400 mark, or, you know, the $450 mark?
Yeah, that's a great question. That is a really good question. I think the answer is probably... Really, what people are going to say is like 300, but reality is probably closer to 5.
I mean, they're talking about it being on the iPhone 8 format, 4.7-inch screen. It will have Touch ID on it. And actually, they're saying that it's going to have the A13 chip in. So that's actually, you know, high-spec chip with 3 gig of RAM. That's no slouch as a phone.
Well, they say that the current, the sort of... retail price for the value phone is going to be $399. And right now the lowest 8 is $449. So it's only a $50 drop, you know, but hey, SE was big, man. When SE first came out, I kind of pooed it. Like, I was like, I don't know if anybody, I would spend the extra $100 and well, get a better phone.
That's a standard iPhone 8 there in that image. And that's an SE next to it. It's to actual size. Equivalent
people
size.
People love that SE, man. It was way bigger than I thought. And people that I know that have it absolutely love it.
But it was a sturdy phone
and
as well,
wasn't
it?
For years. Like, it's not just a like 2-year phone. It's like a 4 or 5 year phone for some people.
I always think that the metal frame phone was really sturdy. The 4, the 4S and the 5 and the SE were always really, really good, sturdy frames.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
you didn't really think about it, but yeah, man. That and the other thing that what you just mentioned, Patrice, is like, you know, it's not a 2-year phone; it's more like a 4-year phone, and that's because we replace our phones, you know, like at a 2-year clip, and some of us every year. Like, you don't think that there's people out there that hold it, but I actually have friends that are like squeezing their six, like, it's, you know, it's going to run away from them.
I mean, the thing
and
is,
I'm like, how could you use a six? Today, like, it doesn't make sense to me, but like, no, it's nothing wrong with it, it works. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
and again, like, in a corporate context, like, my corporate phone in the US was a 6, and that was like, Jesus. 6 and 6s's were still being used last year. Like, they work. Like,
did you guys change the batteries, or are they just still?
Yeah, no, I mean, we replaced the batteries when they went bad, and that was it. Like, I mean, other than that, it gets the job done.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, so I've got a 6 Plus that I had originally, and Bryony uses that one, and the camera's pretty nasty in that, and at the time I thought it was quite good. And we've got a 6S that was Ellis's that then Sharon had, and now she's given that up, but that's pretty nasty as well in terms of the camera. I'm gobsmacked at how much the camera has moved. The 7 was a step change, definitely, in terms of camera function.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellis has got a 7 Plus. And now Sharon's rocking the 10R, and she adores it. And she's blown away by the camera. First Christmas day, she opens it, she's like, "Wow, look at the pictures!" So she's over the moon because she loves her, you know, her Instagram and that kind of stuff.
My daughter has a 5, and it still works. I mean, we're getting concerned about the software now. Like, it's getting to the point where some software simply doesn't run anymore. So she'll probably have to get like a newer one. But like the five still works.
The 5 was a really nice workhorse phone.
The 5 was a really good phone.
I was going to say, Emma has my 06, and like you said, I only noticed it the other day. We were hanging out, and then she was taking pictures of something, and then she showed me the pictures, and I'm thinking to myself, my God, this picture's horrible. But back in the day, we thought that was the best. I have a good 30% of my camera roll that those pictures came from, because she's actually using my old 6 Plus, And the camera has came so far. It's incredible. And like day one and Google both send you these text messages that on this day back in so-and-so. And then so recently the thing triggered. Oh, it was yesterday, because 5-6 years ago was the last January Macworld. And those pictures popped up in my on this day because I was in San Francisco already. Right. You know, that last before they switched to March, it was basically like January 22nd to like the 27th or something. And so those pictures are popping up in my thing. And so those are all from like circa iPhone 5. And those pictures are horrible. Or we were just drunk. Yeah. One of the two.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see what they go. And if they do come out with something in March, it doesn't feel like the right time though. But
I think it actually is, because I mean, one, it's if you think about the corporate clients, that's usually a time frame where a lot of corporate clients will buy stuff. Like the new budget has come in for the new year, so they're going to do that.
Good point.
And then, if you look at Apple, like Apple announces like certain lower tier, like cheaper or like targeted for education products, like in the March timeframe, like the iPad, like the education events they've had, like that stuff seems to be more like an early in the year type of event.
The SE it was also announced keeps early in the year. The launch of the budget product. Mm-hmm. Outside of their flagship product announcements.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think the super cheap phone is not the right place to launch at. No. Now, did you guys see this last week? We did cover it on the photo show, but there is a Anker have got an MFI, so it's an approved device. It's a flash unit. And this is this is incredible, man. It's a little tiny cube. It charges up. It's got 10,000 shots in a single charge. 10,000.
Wow,
that's incredible. There's a Mac Rumors video here that shows it. I'm just going to skip through it, but It's a little tiny cube, so it's very much like the Lytra or the Loom Cube in terms of size. Lightning cable that then fits on. Comes with a diffuser as well, and those little diffusers are really good. I've got one on my Lytra. They're excellent. Plugs in, and it triggers. Now, the story I read said it was for the 11, but I can't see how it's not going to work on the 10 or any other phone that's got a lightning cable. And the thing is as well with the lightning cable is you charge it through the lightning cable as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool.
That's really cool.
So you put your charger in the back end there and the lightning's off and running. I was really excited. And the thing is, it's $49.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Wow.
Or like for a flash, that's nothing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to skip through and see if they've got any examples. So here we go. There's some pictures, look. I keep putting this bloody advert up, sorry. Right, so that's the standard picture there with no flash. And then with the flash there added on. It's actually, the quality is excellent. There's one with a mug, night mode, sorry. Now, night mode, we've said night mode does quite well, but there is a few furry edges on it. But you stick the flash on, and okay, they've not done very well because they've blatted the flash right at it. But if you then get the flash and you hold it up high to one side away from the phone and shoot, and that elongated cable's probably about half a meter, I think you could get some really cracking shots with it. I'm really excited to get one of these and try it.
That looks really cool.
And it's just that nice milky blue light as well. It's got a really nice hue to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite impressed. So
and only $49.
Well, here's the thing, because I reckon it's going to... I might be begging one of you guys to get it for me and get it shipped over to me, because I can just see this being a US launch first, can't you, and then us not getting it at all. But it's got a continuous light as well. Nice. Comes with a little bag, and I don't know whether they liked it or not, but I'm just going on the pictures that they showed. But on the story, it's there you go, some more pictures. It looks really, really good. Really, really good. That's the light on the right there for the dual flash in the office, so much more natural than the iPhone flash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dead impressed, and I'm excited, and I couldn't hold myself in anymore. I had to tell everyone.
It's funny that, you know, these guys, they're making this great flash, and it makes sense because we kind of sort of, you know, need it. But in the other instance, it's funny that their test pictures are using flash for what the general pop uses flash for, to make the picture brighter, but not use it to properly light it. So, like, they could have done a better job with their test pictures.
Yeah, I just
they could have, but showing how the average person's going to use it and to be able to see that improvement that you still get even using it not the way a seasoned photographer would, it's pretty impressive.
Well, the thing for me there, if I go back to the image, so that's the office image that they shot, which, like you say, it's just a bog standard image. I get the impression that there's too much yellow that the iPhone has added in its image, and that looks like a more natural lit shot for me. The tones look better on the dual flash.
Right.
Definitely, yeah.
I think they're really good. And I know you might say, well,
you can see in the other photos that there's a lot of orange in the photos, like without the flash.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's either the lighting is very orange, which is possible, but or the iPhone added it.
It's obviously quite bright, and then you go, well, it's actually quite bright. So the brighter it is, the less flashes you get. But that's 10,000 of those. Good God. Good per, God.
Per charge.
It's incredible.
You know, looking at these photos, someone really needs to work on their edging technique for painting. Look at that paint edge on the ceiling and down at the floor. That's horrible.
That's true.
Oh yeah, that's awful. I didn't notice.
I like their Bob Ross Funko. I actually have that. It's sitting on the shelf right over across from me.
Joe's making a point in the Slack room that the SE1's going to fall out of iOS this year, so it won't get an update. So the ST2's got to drop this year to keep the pipeline going. Good point.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they want to do something, it has to drop this year.
He's also put down, don't forget that the SE was a kid's, teenager's first phone, in inverted commas. And Bob's put, he thinks that the picture looks much better with the dual flash. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. I like that. So if anyone gets their hands on one, please do. And if anyone sees one in Amazon, please do send it through. New look. I do find the secrecy stuff and the cracking the iPhone stories a little bit boring. But I thought this was quite interesting. It's emerged that New York law enforcement officers have got a $10 million lab designed purely to crack iPhones. They've got a Faraday cage that they can put phones in so that they can't be wiped by criminals' families and that kind of stuff. And they've got mind-bending hardware, unquote. they're all ex-military people, and the facility features a radio frequency isolation chamber and high-tech equipment for the purpose of purely cracking iPhones. And New York is spending $10 million a year just to keep this lab running.
I mean, that is what I would expect, to be honest. Like, that's the job of law enforcement. Like, I mean, if they want to get to information, they have to have the means to do so. That is possible. I mean, you know that. They're commercial companies that do it, and, like, law enforcement should be able to do it. So, like, it's pretty cool, but it's also kind of what I would expect.
They've got a supercomputer that generates 26 million random passcodes per second.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive.
That's a lot.
And a robot that
Go ahead. There was this really, really interesting article that I came across on like Slashdot or Ars Technica or something, and it's talking about how the industry is trying to get away from passwords, because passwords, when you really think of it, is probably one of the most horrible security setups as there is, right? So, you know, this whole point of biometrics and, you know, 2FA or two-point authentication is kind of a thing. And like, they showed the list of companies involved in trying to get rid of it. Of course, Apple's on the list, but like, everybody is getting to try to get away from the password. And what I find obnoxious about this, as I was going through, you know, my surgery and dealing with insurance company and dealing with healthcare, a lot of the government sites and sites that you would think are way more secure, they still are on the, you need an 8-character, one upper, one lower, one number password scheme. And then I use, you know, one password and I generate some pretty insane passwords. And it's like, oh, the password's too long. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, they were capping the password field at 8. Not, it has to be 8 and up. They were capping the field at 8. And I was like, it's so unsecure. And this was for something that, you know, where a lot of personal information is abound, but like Patrice said, they still operate on like Windows XP machines that are like kludged together. And I was like, man, this is a horrible thing. So all of what we're doing on our personal machines, like my Facebook password is like probably 40 characters long or something, but yet on one of my higher end sites to my personal stuff directly connected to the state of Hawaii, I have 8 characters.
I can't get over that. There's still sites that won't let you have a password that's longer than 8 characters.
Great. I was mind blown. Yes. And then I was thinking, like, what a breach, man. And then this is horrible. And they were saying that the average data breach on a company costs somewhere in ordinance of about $8 million to fix.
Wow.
And it can be more. Like, I mean, it's like if it's a high-profile case, then like the damage to their reputation alone is massive. So, I mean, it's crazy.
There's companies that just shut down email instead systems, of fixing it.
Exchange email servers that like cut off after, I think, 50, like I have that issue, like cut off after 15 characters. Like, makes no sense.
The reason I picked this, though, is there's quite an interesting commentary in the fact that one of the other stories this week is that Apple has reportedly dropped plans for end-to-end encryption for iCloud backups after the FBI intervened and objected and stopped them from, or tried to stop them from doing it. But the first comment that is on the backside of the New York story I've just read is, I'm on record as a law enforcement officer saying that I do not agree with private companies being forced to create backdoors to get into people's devices. If the agency or government comes up with a method to crack it on their own or purchase it from the private sector, then that's okay. But putting a gun to a company's head must never be allowed. And I think that's a really good comment.
Yeah. It's a great comment.
And, I mean, we talked about that last week, I think. I mean, if you look at it, like the fact that private companies, third-party companies can come up with solutions, can come up with backdoors and everything and like get into the phones, shows you that like there is no need for it. Like there's always a flaw in the system somewhere that can be exploited.
It is a cat and mouse game. It's always been a cat and mouse game, and it should always remain a cat and mouse game.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, I mean, that kind
it
of
start. It started out that way. It should stay that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but then again, end to end encryption kills it, or does it?
No, because like if you have the device, then that's one of the ends. So if you can get into the device, you can get to the data.
So yeah, go for it. Go on, Apple. End to end encryption. Yeah. Do it. We voted yes.
Yeah, I think there's more to the story than we know. Also,
yeah, there were some like some people chiming in with like insider information or like sources, and they were saying the FBI they never really talked to Apple about it, which also I don't think was necessary because like if you ask the FBI, should we build like an end-to-end encrypted backup system so you can't get data? What are they gonna say? They're gonna say no. So it's kind of not a question that you'd ask. it was also apparently that they one day didn't want to poke the bear because it's already like a little bit of a contentious topic, and also Apple is a little bit concerned about users or customers because people, and that I know from people that have worked in stores or work in stores, people come in and they have forgotten all their passwords, everything. They can't get into the phone, they can't get into iCloud, nothing. They don't have the recovery key that they should keep in a safe place. So what are they going to do? And like with the iCloud backup, Apple has still a possibility to help them. They can go in. Yeah, you can. Like you have to wipe the device and like start fresh, but at least you can like start from a backup.
If you can remember
that's password. A really good point.
No, because you don't have to remember the password because Apple has access to your iCloud backup. So you literally just restore that iCloud backup.
All right. Mm-hmm.
That well, one still of
the
things works.
That's crazy about the whole situation and why this is dumb. The short-sightedness of these agencies forget that there's apps out there. So you can buy a brand new iPhone right now and set it up with your iCloud account just because Apple sort of wants you to do that. But never send a text message through iMessage. Never send an email through mail. And make sure that all your photos are taken in an app that doesn't store it in the camera roll. And they all exist. So I can have a almost, you know, air gap is the wrong word, but let's use it in this particular case. I can build a Petri dish phone, and most people that do nefarious stuff, they already know this. This is the reason why, you know, a lot of the guys that are doing nefarious things are using WhatsApp, because when you subpoena China to be like, hey, I need that data, China's going to go, what? I don't know what you're talking about. So, like... Yeah, we just found out yesterday that when Jeff Baldy, Muscle Baldy, got busted for cheating on his old lady, it was MBS that was the one that was hacking him. Mm-hmm. It just came out, like, after, what, 2 years or however long ago he got busted and had to give his old lady, like, $40 billion to go away. That was basically the Saudi king hacked him, and it took how long to figure that out? But he did it through WhatsApp. So, like, you don't have to use any of the iCloud services. You don't need Calendar. You don't need any of that. There's other apps that can replace all of that that aren't stored in that backup. So, like, forcing Apple's hand does nothing because, like Ewan said, cat and mouse games, there's always these, you know, sort of encrypted apps. There's even apps that let you make phone calls with a different phone number for, like, 99 cents a pop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just remember in those cases, Apple already turned over that data. Like anything that was in iCloud, any apps, anything that stored contacts, whatever is in there, Apple's already turned over. The fact that the FBI is interested in what's on the phone probably means that there is something on the phone that is not transferred anywhere. Like the call records they have, they just get from the phone companies. So that is not really that important. It's literally stuff that people keep on their devices knowing that, like, they don't want to share that.
Yeah. the news always misreports it. Apple is a great target, and same with Amazon and Samsung whenever they come up. They're great targets, and it's lazy reporting, and they always want to say, well, the FBI subpoenaed Apple, and, you know, like, Apple's holding back, and they're saying no because it sounds bad and it's great for news, but it's really the case. Because remember, way, way back in the day when this conversation sort of first came up, they end up using that, what is it, Cellbrite out of Israel to go in and get data. So they, if they want it, they're going to get it. It has nothing to do with Apple, so stop trying to make them look bad for no apparent reason just because you want to be a lazy reporter.
And remember, we know that the NSA keeps keeps flaws and backdoors that they know of, like issues that, like, nothing they built in, like security issues that exist in device. They keep that for that reason, so they can get access to certain information on phones. So it's not that it's not possible.
I love the fact that Trump is going to meet Tim Cook at Davos the next month.
He already did.
Oh, he's done it.
He's going to meet with Tim Apple.
Tim Apple, yeah. But I can just, SNL need to pick that one up and just have the two of them sat there with a clock ticking in the background for 30 minutes. I've got no idea why she
came. There was a meeting already. I think it was a breakfast with Tim Cook and someone, I think, from Davos, Intel. Yeah.
I thought that hadn't happened yet. Where have I got that wrong?
No, that was last weekend, I think.
Fair enough. Well, talking of face plants then, or face palms, Google researchers have shown that Apple's Safari web browser let users' browsing habits be tracked despite Apple's intelligent tracking prevention feature. Uh-oh.
Whoops.
Here's my thought on this tracking, things like that. I go into everything knowing that there's a possibility that it might be tracked and just work from there. If you're walking around thinking that your data is not getting messed with, then that's just naive. So it's better to assume that it's all being tracked and then, you know, put out what you're comfortable putting out. And if you're not comfortable with putting it out, make sure you use a VPN that connects to another VPN and then do it. Other than that, don't do it. Just stay off.
The problem with that is, like, it's actually using browser features to identify you, and that VPN will not do anything for that. So I'm very happy that Apple and now also other companies are doing something against it. And I mean, according to what we're hearing from, like, a lot of, like, ad networks and so on, it's actually working. But it's never going to be perfect. I mean, there's always a way, or same thing with the phone, there's always a way around it. And like the companies, like the ad companies and ad networks and whoever wants to track you, it's in their interest to find ways to still do it, and they're going to try. It's a cat, it's the same thing, cat and mouse game.
Yeah.
So
I think
I don't know why those are stories, because for me, maybe it's because I'm in the industry and I just know, but for me, it's kind of a, well, of course moment.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, everyone would tell you, oh man, I hate being advertised too. Like, I don't like ads. I don't like being told what to buy, whatever, whatever. That same exact person will walk into Tesco and roll up to the tech, at the counter person or whatever. And it's like, hey, which one of these is better? This one or this one? and it's funny because everyone swears they don't want to be advertised to, but they're all wearing stuff that a lot of them have gotten or bought things that they've gotten because they were advertised to. So, like, just stop saying that, because it's not true. That's like saying, I don't like eating protein.
There's a few adverts I've got recently because I've got an Amazon app, but there's a couple of times where it's like, I know I've looked at something on the Amazon app on my phone, but I haven't looked at it on my computer. I know I haven't. And I come on the computer and the cookie has been showing me the thing that I know I looked at on the phone on the desktop. And I'm kind of like, whoa, hang on. How's that got there then?
And it's scarier than that, Ewan. I was talking about one of my friends who is an ex-girlfriend of my close friend, and I hadn't seen her for about 2.5 years. And, you know, when they were together, we were kind of tight, you know, and I was like, oh man, I wonder what she's doing. Like, I really miss her. She was a super funny person to hang around with, like a bag of laughs. And I swear, 20 minutes later, I'm scrubbing my Instagram feed. Second picture is one of her recent updates. And I was like, the way they do feeds now, they hadn't shown me anything of her in over a year and a half. And then I mentioned her to Karen, like, hey, we should call her up and just see how she is. And the second picture was her. Spooky. Like, yo, that's crazy. And we could do it right now. We could all just on this podcast and everyone listening, we could talk about shopping for mattresses and we can get into box spring technology. And I swear everybody that's listening to this or each one of us in a couple minutes will go on IG or Facebook and you'll see purple and Casper ads.
I honestly do not believe that. I
don't believe it either, but it's so freaky now. It's crazy.
All right, Jeffrey, you have to, because you haven't spoken for ages, and then we'll come back to the Bader-Meinhof effect.
All right. So as far as mattresses go, we don't actually have to discuss them. We will still see all the Casper and Purple ads.
It's just self-fulfilling prophecy.
But the algorithms that Facebook and Google and Amazon have come up with for tracking, but then anticipating what we want. I mean, that is just straight up scary. I mean, that's what's led to this conspiracy theory that our devices are listening and parsing that information so that we can then be fed these ads. I mean, it's really creepy that we can talk about something and then a short while later we will see something, you know, an ad for something related to that. And of course that gives us a nice little confirmation bias because we're thinking, oh, see, I said it, but then the reality is because of the nature of the way we've been surfing the web and searching for things, that's what triggered it. And I actually think that the companies that are using these algorithms, they love that people think that they're eavesdropping on us through our microphones, because that keeps people focused on the conspiracy theory and not actually paying attention to what's really happening, which is far more insidious.
Mm-hmm. I think
that's true.
The other thing though, as well, and this is, the obvious connections aren't getting made. So if you, and I keep saying this, if you go to Facebook and you buy a pair of trainers, then your sneakers. So you buy this pair of sneakers. Now the average runner will probably use about 500 miles out of a pair of trainers, and then they'll need new ones. So you log your run on Strava, and then you post it in a Facebook group, or you post it on Facebook for all your mates to see, and that kind of stuff. That would be such a simple algorithm to just have a little cookie that counts up and says, right, it's got to 400 miles, so now start advertising trainers again and start pushing serious running trainers their way. That would be so easy to do, yet Facebook doesn't do that. And I can't work out why it doesn't.
It's not that, I don't think it's that easy. Like from a technical perspective, I mean, you say it's easy because you're focusing on one thing, like one single thing, but like think about it, like Facebook is like Facebook's advertisements are focusing on like a million, billion different products. And then it's not as easy. I mean, you're logging the runs, you're like visiting websites, like you're generating a lot of data, a lot of information. And it's not as easy to come up with to know that like 400 miles later, you will need shoes because other people will maybe, for them, it will be like 1,000 miles later, or like you have three pairs of shoes. So you switch them. So it takes like 4 years to do it. Like it's not as easy as it like might sound like immediately. It's just too complicated.
I didn't say it had to be accurate.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean the fact if it actually does turn up and say, actually you need the shoes, and you go, holy shit, I really do need shoes. That I'm not talking about that level of accuracy. If it does it too soon, yeah, that goes with the territory. But that would be a fairly simple correlation, I would have thought, in terms of tracking. Yeah.
The question is, and that's always a bit of an issue, like what's like, maybe they even showed you the ad, but because you were not receptive to it, like you were not ready for it, you didn't pay attention to it and you just forgot about it.
They didn't show me because I don't go running.
Possible. Yeah, it's possible. It's hard to tell.
I think there's the combination of a little bit of pareidolia, you know, where you see patterns where patterns don't exist. and a little bit of like heuristic bias and a couple of other cognitive biases all work together. And it makes people think that what I used to call it back in the day before I knew all these fancy brain terms was it's just an ambient awareness. The minute, like, okay, right now, if you're going to go and you're going to go look for a red saloon, you know, for the family because you need one, or a minivan, all of a sudden, the exact brand and model and color that you like, you would notice them on the road more. And that's known as an ambient awareness. And so you start thinking, oh, yeah, like, it's so funny that we're just talking about that. Now, all of a sudden, I keep seeing, you know, red four-door saloons. And, you know, made by Vauxhall or whatever the heck you're into. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were always there. Your neighbors and the people in your community were always there. Just because it's on your mind, you pick it up more.
Yeah, right? you buy a red car, you see loads of red cars. Yeah, I get that.
It's just how it is. So it's funny that, you know, I agree with Patrice. And, you know, I was telling that story just because it's freaky, but not because I believe it. Because I've been trying to convince all my friends, starting with Adam, way back, that Alexa and all these guys are not listening. Sorry, be quiet, girl. Are not listening to you because the amount of data that would have to be mined and sorted just to keep up with the people in your state is incredible. Mm-hmm. But you think about the entire country and then add that to the entire world, the servers would be on fire.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
And I mean, we see it with our like assistants, with like Alexa and all the others, like how hard it is. Like even if we give them very like specific instructions what to do, and usually in a fairly simple language, it is almost like it's still not very good at like picking that out. So like random conversations were like, forget that, like it's too complicated.
Yeah,
the best one
at some point in the future, maybe, but like right now there are way easier ways.
The best one is Tell Xbox to watch Netflix. Turning off Xbox. No, don't turn off the Xbox.
You know? Yeah, so, totally. I mean, we've made that joke. Like, here are cinemas near you. Like,
that's you in one.
Yeah, it's, yep. It's...
To jump back to the there's no way all these devices can really be listening to us all the time. Mm-hmm. If they actually were, the amount of data that would be running through our networks and through our cellular data plans would be significant. And the security experts that are looking to see what's going through networks, they would have picked this up so long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a good episode of, I think it was Science Versus, where they looked into that, like, or either that or Radiolab. Where someone like mentioned that they had like mentioned basically the story that Doc told, and they looked
into it
and tried to figure it out, and like they ultimately like could not find any evidence that Facebook was listening, but they found enough like other potential reasons why that was happening.
You lot ruin a really good story with the truth all the time.
I think that's why it's a good story. Like it's intriguing.
Jennifer has won a SAG Award, Screen Actors Guild Award, for her performance as Alex Levy in The Morning Show.
I love that show. I don't know, some people take the piss out of it, but I absolutely love that show.
I thought it was great. Yeah.
It was great.
It's Sorkin-esque though.
Yeah, I think it's a bit short of Sorkin in terms of things like Newsroom. But it was getting there at the end. It was getting there a lot better. It was really good. I was really impressed. I don't know if it was a performance that was that notable. But in terms of, if you had to pick an actor who gave a great performance in all of the shows that I've watched so far, I would pick her, yes. And I haven't seen Octavia yet in Truth Be Told. But,
oh, great. Oh, that was going to be my pick, dude.
Right, that's okay, but I haven't seen it yet. So.
Great show. Please watch it, because I need somebody to vent about.
Well, it's on my list. I haven't had a chance to start watching.
The other thing is Apple's listed a whole shared release dates for several upcoming TV Plus shows. I still haven't watched the Little America one. That quite interests me as well. The Amazing Stories one just seems to have Stranger Things written all over it, doesn't it? The way it's described and done. But yeah, there's a whole pile of stuff coming.
There's some I got a question that's kind of unrelated, and maybe you guys can help.
Go on.
Is Jen wearing Invisalign, or does she just bleach her teeth so much that they're purple clear? Because in that show, like, I find myself staring at them when she's talking, because they're kind of transparent teeth.
I don't know. I haven't spotted that.
Or she doesn't move her mouth is like normal, so she might have got some face work done and just can't work those muscles yet. It's just, it's kind of odd, and it doesn't distract from the show, but it's just weird to me. And I just can't, every time she talks, I just want to say Rachel.
Yeah, that's a bit sad, really, if she can't break the mold now, because she has done movies and stuff, and she's
done tons.
She's quite talented, you know. She is talented. I'm still waiting for Mythic Quest. I really want to see that. That should be hilarious, I think.
Yeah.
If it's not meant to be hilarious, then I apologize. But
Rachel's performance in that show is quite incredible too. And you know, Jen's getting a lot of the accolades, but Rachel's performance was pretty incredible. And she's the ex-producer. Like, yo, she paid for that mess.
I tell you who does impress me is the guy that's the California dude who's trying to unseat Fred and all that kind of stuff. I can't remember his bloody name.
Oh, God bless America. The account exec, not the account exec, the network exec.
The network exec, yeah.
He's Mr. Manhattan on the Watchmen.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you know that?
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah, same dude. Yeah.
He's
amazing.
In loads of stuff. I've seen him in tons of stuff now. Yeah.
Something Cupboard.
But the thing is, it's like you never know whether he's a complete arsehole or whether he's actually really plausible or not. He does stuff that you kind of like, and then... Oh, he's really good. I think he's excellent.
I love his facial expressions on this show.
I don't know which, but he got an award for that.
His smile is superb. It's just like, I'm the devil in disguise. Or am I? Or am I? Yeah, see?
I think his character is a little bit of a homebrew of a happy Steve Jobs. You know, like, I'm just going to do stuff that sounds like it's pissing everybody off, but it's actually pretty genius. But he's delivering it in a I'm going to smile at you face versus Steve's was like straight intimidation.
If you don't do this,
you would get eye fired.
I don't believe Steve was ever happy. So
that's what I'm saying. That's what I say. So it's a nice, you know, like portrait of his personality.
Yeah. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. We say it every week and we do mean it. They are beautiful. They are wonderful people. And you can get some amazing deals with them at the moment for a lot of the services they've got. Web hosting, domain names, WordPress sites with carts. You can get a WordPress site for £12 a year. And you can get a commercial site for only £68 a year. So that's amazing. Also, any of your hosting needs that you purchase, if you use the offer code BTN20, then you will get 20% off, which is just amazing. But actually, they don't even need you to do that. All they want from the BTN army is to get on the socials and say thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. So please get yourself out there and make sure right now you stop what you're doing, stop listening to this, and get out and do thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. It's all we want from you, social recognition. And also, I'm N Max, out with Mo having a beer in the week, which was a bit messy. They're great. They're a wonderful firm. They're based right here in Birmingham, but it doesn't matter. If you're anywhere in the UK, you can send your machine to them. We'll bring it down here. They will fix it for you. Guy on Twitter today said, do they do data recovery? Yes, they do. He's a photographer, and he wants a lot of data recovered, I presume. Hopefully, it's not his images that he makes money from, but he probably will. If you've got a legacy Mac, so Apple won't touch it, it's gone over the 5-year threshold, then don't worry because they will. And they'll do the little things like they'll solder the logic board and that kind of stuff to get the logic board running again rather than just doing a wholesale replacement. If you've got a screen that looks like my old one here, because it's got a big mark in it because you dropped it like an idiot, then go and see them. They'll do new screens. They can do everything up to the iPhone 11, I think. So every screen available you can get done there, and all of their parts are warranted for 6 months as well. So anything that they do, any repair that they do is warranted for 6 months. We love them to bits. And again, get on the socials. Thank at imnmax for supporting at British Tech. Right. Time for the cool thing, boys. I hope you've all got a good one. Starts off then with yours, which I know what it is now, Doc.
Okay. Well, besides that, I have one that's not cheap. But it's good for the... Oh, I got to bring up messages. I haven't opened this in so long. Damn it. it's not cheap, but it's good for those who are in the photography. Ewan was just going on talking about the flash that Anker is going to bring up. And for a longest time, like all of my flashes, they're sitting around here. I have like five of these sitting around here in bags because I don't use them anymore for about anything, because I bought a company called Light in Motion. I talked about their smaller light a little while ago. It's actually what's lighting me right now is the smaller version of this. And this right here is a kit, and it's called a CLX8. And what it is an 8,000 lumens sunlight corrected 94. Yeah,
I've got the page up you sent me.
So this is it. What's really great about this, solid metal construction. It is probably blind the camera, so I'll try to turn it this way, but this sucker is insanely bright. And of course you can dim it down to do whatever you want. And what I do is I throw this inside of an Octobox. And again, right here, the Octobox is right off camera to me, and it slides right on the front, and it comes with all sort of Fresnels, and, it has like a little remote control. It has, you know, link cables if you like to link it up so that it flashes when your flash flashes. But the thing that's really cool about continuous lighting, and that's what the CL stands for, versus using a flash, is you have so much more control. And this is actually bright enough to compete with sunlight. So if you look in my Instagram feed from like before I busted my knee back in September, I was doing shots of like models at the beach in broad sunlight, and this is just off camera, and it's lighting their face against the water. And you're just doing things you can't do with sunlight, and you can't control as easily with flash, so it's much easier to get your stuff set up and correct and whatever and use this. But besides that, because it's LED and it's a, you know, a huge like 1.5-inch circle sensor, you can use it as a video light as well, so it's a little bit more versatile. So for the money, this was better than having what I used to use was a radio control and three flashes to try to like deal with sunlight. I just used this and a couple Octobox and reflectors, and game on. You can do whatever. And so between this one and the little one, they're quite impressive. Now the smaller one that I have, which is like the 200, that sucker is actually waterproof. So I actually have shots where I'm doing like beach shots at night where I literally just throw that in the ocean, and you got like a cool little, like the light spray from the salt, and it's bouncing the light off the rocks, and it gives like a little halo. And yeah, so it's, these are incredible. And now that I've upgraded to like real deal professional lights instead of my cool little Amazon, I really love them, but they can't do all of this cool stuff. This is worth it. So this kit is, light itself is around $1,000, and the whole kit is around 1300 or whatever. But
yeah, 1399 it's got here on the,
it's
on
the worth site. Every freaking penny. Like, it's incredible. This thing is super incredible. Yeah, and they save if you buy a kit that comes with two of these and a little one, it's actually not that bad a deal.
And no, usually when you buy two or something, it's that stuff, it's kind of, you do get a really good deal, so
it's worth it, bro. With the D-Tab cable, like I can do anything now. Like, I'm really, really love this. And this comes in handy too for like real estate photography, fashion photography, food photography. I don't travel with this. I travel with the little one, but I mean, this guy is incredible.
Excellent, mate. Good pick, like that. Superb. If expensive.
Not for what you do.
No. I like the portability. That's really cool. Jeffrey, what do you have for us?
I'm going to take us to the complete other end of the spectrum for price and go with free.
Yes.
And I'm going with Flipboard today. And what I love about Flipboard is that it lets me grab all the RSS feeds that I want to follow, and so I was able to set up what amounts to my own customized news magazine, and so I can see whatever the current news is that I'm interested in. In a very easy format, I just like flip through pages And if I see something that I want to read more than just the headline and the introduction, then you tap on it and you've got the article right there. And it's an easy interface to use. And since you set up an account, you can look at your Flipboard content on any device. So you can use the web interface. I have the iPad app. So when I'm having breakfast in the morning, I have my iPad set up and I'm just flipping through all the news from the night before and the morning. And it's awesome.
Excellent. And it's free, more importantly.
And it's free.
Excellent, pal. Superb. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm going to pick something that might be a little bit surprising. I'm really enjoying the heck out of Twitter and the official Twitter app for iOS for some reason. I don't know what it is.
What?
Like, I mean, I was off Twitter for years now.
What?
And fairly recently, it just drew me in, and like I really enjoy like talking to, like seeing what Mike T. Rose is doing and what he likes, and like just being around Twitter. And the official Twitter app is like, I mean, as someone who has used like third-party Twitter apps almost exclusively in the past, it is surprisingly good, and it works, and like it gets
traditionally the Twitter app has been a bit lame.
Absolutely. And it is actually good. Like, I mean, I think it triggered, like, it was probably because of Federico Viticci, and like he talked about it a lot on like podcasts and everything. So I gave it a try, and it is good. Like, I mean, it just gets the job done, like the thread view and everything. It just makes sense. Like something that other apps have struggled with, Twitter actually got right now. So it's Twitter for iOS.
All right, I'm going to give that a go then. What about have you tried the desktop application? Has that improved or is that still crap?
Desktop works. I mean, it's an iPad app and you see it.
Yeah.
So it's okay. It's okay, but I mean, I personally use it on my iPad and on my iPhone, and there it works really well. So.
Fair enough. Good. Like that. I've just clicked the wrong button. Going to be really slick then, but now I'm not. Bugger. Michael thing. So I bought a 10R for the missus for Christmas, and she loves it. But she came up to me the other day and she said, "How come, right? You just have to put yours down on something and it charges, whereas I've got to plug mine in." I'm like, "Oh, sorry, I failed there, darling. I didn't get you a Qi charger." So I've got this one. It's a limited time offer only on Amazon. So you've got to be quick. It's the UTEC wireless Qi charger, 10 watts, and it's perfect. It's absolutely ideal. She sticks her phone on it, and it works just beautifully. I'm really impressed with it, because the thing is, as well, it doesn't burn the light, because a lot of the other... I couldn't get the Senio one that I had, and a lot of them have a light on that's on constantly, and then it turns from blue to green when it's charging, but this just has a light that comes on the bottom when it's charging and nothing else. And it was a tenner. You can't fault that, can you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's crazy. You know, a couple of weeks ago, before the one I got sick and I couldn't make the show, I was going to explain one of the things that I think a lot of people do when they get a new phone, because like I bought Karen an 11 for Christmas too, an 11 Pro. And like we have always never taken the headphones and the charging cables out of the box. We always use what we already had. And I went straight back to using my Lightning like as it was. And then I discovered USB-C to Lightning. And I have a what is that word? G-A-N, gallium nitride from Anker. It's like the new charging thing, like graphene or whatever, but it's like a low heat transfer thing. The new chargers are all going to be coming out. I'll be using something called gallium nitride. I think that's the right word. But anyway, it's the tiniest little brick charger about this big, but it's like 20-something watts. And you put a USB-C to Lightning cable and... it charges the entire phone in like 20 minutes.
Oh,
it's incredible. And so that 18 watt or whatever that came with your iPhone, if you use the built-in cable in that, you'll notice it charges way faster. But what a lot of us did, because we think we might resell it or whatever, is we just keep using the old chargers and the old cords, and they work. They just take forever. So speaking of that fast charging game, oh my goodness, it's incredible. And that, so traveling, and the only reason why I bought that little Anker, it was so tiny and it has one USB-C port, and you just, you know, for traveling, it was great because it fits into your little, you know, waist bag. And when you come back home and you realize how fast it charges phones, it's ridiculous. So I suggest everyone get something like that, or even this Qi charger. It is the UTEC ones, there's a 10 watt guy, and then there's an 18 watt guy. There's two different ones. One's $20 and one's $10.
Mm. Yeah. Just the thing is, I tend to use it more when I'm just sat here and it's on the desk, or it charges overnight. Yeah, as long as it charges overnight, yeah. Who cares? Now there's a competition. I did say earlier on, if you would like to win a Datacolor Spider Pro, this is without doubt the best screen calibrator I've ever used. And I've used them all, I promise you, over the last 20 years. This thing is brilliant. It's got some wonderful features in it. It's got an elite version, but you don't actually need it. I think the basic version with this one, with the Pro, is superb. If you would like to win one of these, we've got two of them to give away, thanks to Datacolor and Digital Glue here in the UK. Then all you've got to do is find British Tech Network on YouTube and like and subscribe to our channel. And we'll be picking a winner from all the people that have liked and subscribed. And we'll see where we go. Now, it's because we've restarted the photo show. So if you haven't seen it, and I hear what you're saying, you're going, oh, yeah, you do this every couple of years, you, and you do a couple of photo shows, and then that's it. It's all done and dusted, and then you stop again. We're going to do the photo show consistently now at 6 p.m. So if we do shows, we're going to do 4 p.m. Mac, 6 p.m. big, 6 p.m. photo, and then 8 p.m. big. And we're going to do another one today. We've done the doc. I've got Damien Wilson, who's helping me with it, and I've got Ian Lewis as well, who's going to help out a little bit getting the doc ready. So there you go. The show will happen more often than not, I would have said. At least that's the aim. So if you're skeptical, I fully get it. Don't worry. But if you would like one of these, they are superb. We have two to give away. Thank you, Digital Glue, and thanks, Datacolor. Right. Where can people get a hold of you, Doc?
Just like you said, on YouTube, all over the internet, it's at DOCROCK. The YouTube is youtube.com/DOCROCK, and at solid.fm.
Back again next week?
Yeah. Like I'm as long as my PT schedule works, I'm better.
Brilliant. Well, on Friday next week again. Jeffrey, where would you be?
Over at textexpander.com and Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamet, and of course I make the podcast circuit, so I'm easy to find.
You are the podcast circuit.
I fear what would happen to all the shows if something happened to me, like I get hit by a bus and now I just can't podcast ever again.
Well, the good news is Angela wouldn't have to call anyone because everyone would instantly know.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah. So that reduces the grieving load on her. We'd miss you, man. We'd True. Really miss you.
It would be a weird thing.
Yeah. Good to have you, man. And thanks for the offer code as well. And don't forget, if you're a beginner on Text Expander, get onto it and watch it now, straight after this.
Yes. Yeah. As soon as we're done, I have to get everything set up so that I can start the webinar.
And you're still back here for 8 o'clock for the big show. Incredible.
And I'll be back for the big show. Yep.
Incredible. Wow. And Patrice, where would you be?
I just want to mention something because I put it in the chat as well. I saw Amazon is actually the other day. Amazon is now offering the AirPods Pro, and at least here in Austria, they were shipping faster than Apple. Like Apple had a 4-week shipping estimate, and then Amazon, I'm getting them tomorrow. So,
wow.
I just wanted to mention that. Other than that, I'm every week here on the Mac Show and on the Big Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. You can follow the network on @BritishTech. You can follow me at Ewan Rankin as well, or you can follow my Instagram account, which is 12 Space Media, and all the usual stuff. Back here with the photo show at 6, Big Show at 8, and if you're not, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.